Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
God is good. God is good. You know, under the circumstances, kind of makes you feel bad that I have to speak tonight because Pastor Pam is feeling sick. But the funny thing about that is, yesterday morning, I was doing my morning jog. And when I was jogging, I was asking the Lord for an opportunity to speak. You know, the pastor tells me, I want you to preach at least 8 times a year. But I'm the type of person that unless you tell me, I won't do it. You know, and I always believe that God opens doors and always at the right time is the best time. And I was just walking and doing my morning jog, and I said, Lord, there's a lot in me that I want to speak about. I would like an opportunity, you know. And later on in the afternoon, I'm jogging with Ashley, and the pastor calls me, and he told me he needed me to speak today. And it was an interesting day, because even at nighttime, the light left around this area. So you live around this area, we were without light until almost 2 o'clock in the morning. And I also had to do other things today. So I was like, Lord, this is not something that was told a month in advance, so have mercy on me. I did the best that I could under the circumstances. And this is not a crutch, but it's just to let you know you need to be ready at all times. You always need to be ready because you just never know. And today we saw that video, which is awesome because it shows us our heart, how we really are. It shows us that we really don't have the trust in God that we claim to have most of the time. And I say it for my life. There's a lot of times that I feel like, all right, I'm holding on tight to the Lord. I'm trusting him 100%. And then when the curve comes to your life, the curveball, you know, you kind of withdraw a little and say, man, but why this, why that? And it just shows you your heart, that you're really not trusting the Lord the way you thought you would. And sometimes it's not the enemy. Sometimes God just, you know, creates scenarios for we could see really what's in our hearts and allows us to really look into the areas that we need to strengthen. So today I want to talk about trust in the Lord. And of course, it's a Wednesday night, so we really can't get in deep, but we trust that the Holy Spirit will have his way today. Amen? Amen? Father, we just thank you because you're an awesome God. You're a great God. And Lord, there's no coincidence in you. There's no chance in you. Everything has a purpose. Everything has a plan. And Holy Spirit, today we pray that you may just open the ears, my God, of those that may be confused in certain areas and in this particular matter. You may open their ears and their minds to understanding and that they could receive from you what you want them to receive tonight, Lord. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you may just flow. Do your thing. It is not about me. It is about you. It is about you and your people, Lord. So we pray that we may just, my God, today may be a day of revelation, that we may just get closer to you today than we were yesterday. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen. God frequently questions us. He says, can you trust me? Can you trust me? Can you trust me? Can you trust me? Can you trust me with your finances? Can you trust me with your home? Can you trust me with your spouse? Can you trust me with your children? Can you trust me? In this video, we saw someone that claimed to trust the Lord because they had one positive outcome. But when the Lord said, okay, I want you to trust me this way, I want you to fall back. Well, that's a different story, Lord. You didn't ask me to do that before, so this is something a little bit different. God wants us to trust him whether we are able to see or not see. The rest, the real story, the reality is we need to learn how to trust God every day in everything. We cannot just One day yes, the other day no. One day yes, like a JoJo. We can't be like that. In Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. It does not say trust the Lord with part of your heart, with some of your heart, with a bit of your heart. It says with all your heart. And do not depend on your own understanding. The Hebrew word for trust in this verse means to have confidence. In other words, to be totally sure that something is real. The Hebrew word here also in this text also means to be bold and daring, as well as to be secure or safe. In God, we can be sure that what He says is real, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. We can also be daring because He has not given us a spirit of fear in 2 Timothy 1:7. In God, we can be safe because He watches over our lives, according to Psalms 121:7. Amen. I'm going to have to close this because I don't have enough space up here. God knows what is best for us. He is a better judge of what we want than we are. For example, there are things in life that we want. There are certain goals we set up for ourselves. We want to be professional. We want to do things in life that's just going to move us to the top. And it's okay to have all those dreams. But we need to talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm your servant. What direction do you want me to go? What direction, is it this way? Is it to the left or to the right? What direction do you want me to go? But at times we do all these things and we struggle to get to the top. And when we get that degree we were so eager to get, when we make it, guess what? We realize, man, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Maybe I shouldn't have received it. Maybe I shouldn't have bought that car. Maybe I shouldn't have bought that house. You see? That's why it's important as believers to be led by the Spirit. We cannot just wander away and do our own thing. We need to be led by the Spirit and read the Word of God. He will speak to us through His Word. Amen? Daniel chapter 3 is a perfect example of this, in trusting the Lord. We see three young Hebrew men who were taken as captives to Babylon and selected to serve in the palace because God rewarded their obedience to not contaminate themselves with food that was offered to idols. We all know the story. From the beginning, we see their loyalty to the Lord and that they were sure God was going to take care of them. King Nebuchadnezzar, excuse my English, built an image. He wanted the people, regardless if they were citizens or captives, to worship this idol. Anyone who did not worship would be thrown into the fiery furnace. The king was told by some men in his leadership that these three Hebrew young men did not want to bow down and worship his idol. So obviously he was going to get upset because he's the king. So he went and got them in there. The king ordered to see them and challenge them personally to bow down before the idol or face death. And if you stop and think about it, if you just look at the news, we're living in those times right now. Right now we're living in that. The Christians are getting persecuted left and right. Okay? Right now, the other day they just released a lady in the Middle East. She was a Christian woman since she was young. But, you know, her own brother turned her in. You understand? And she was pregnant and she had a child with her. So she was in prison with her son or her daughter, and she gave birth in there. You know, and it was horrific the way this lady gave birth. And it was all because she did not want to deny the name of Jesus. Okay? All she needed to do to be free was deny Jesus and go back to Islam, and she would be okay. But with all that, she remained faithful. Okay? So I'm going to bring to realization that we're living in these times. It may sound like, oh, this was ancient. No, this is now, and it's getting worse. These young men were forced to deny God, but we all know they didn't. I love this story because I love the heart of these three young men. They already had made up their mind that no matter what, no matter the cost, that they were not going to deny what they believed. They were not going to deny God, regardless whether they got, whether God did something or not. They were fixed with their eyes on the Lord. They believed God would set them free, but they also had made up their mind ahead of time. They knew what the cost could have been. If God always rescues us, think about this. If God always shows up the same way, what's the point of faith? If he always shows up the way you expect him, like in that video we saw, what is the point? We should be faithful to serve God whether he intervenes on our behalf or not. These men responded with confidence, boldness, and security. Daniel 3:16 reads, "We did not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want you. Even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up." Wow. That can only come from the Spirit of the Lord, that boldness. You see, God wants us to walk in that confidence. Regardless of what, it doesn't matter what moves around you. It doesn't matter what happens in your surroundings, in America, anywhere. God wants you to have that trust in him, that what he said will happen in your life will come to pass. That he gave you a word, you could trust in that word, you could bank on it, it's going to happen. It doesn't matter what the enemy wants to whisper, what anyone wants to say, is what God says that matters. Amen? It was a blind trust that they had. They did not know what was coming. They didn't know what was going to happen next. But they knew God was going to do something. Look at what happened next. In Daniel chapter 3, starting from verse 19. Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that's the name of the three young men, that his face became distorted with rage. He commanded that the furnace be heated up 7 times hotter than the usual. Then he ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind these young men and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up and threw them in, fully dressed with their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. And because the king had demanded such a hot fire, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the three men in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. Suddenly, can everybody say that word with me? Suddenly. You know, it's so funny because when you trust the Lord, when you believe in him, there will always be a suddenly. There will always be an outcome that's going to work for your benefit because God is faithful. God is faithful. You know, the problem with us is that sometimes we want God to operate the way we want. We want God to do things the way we are accustomed for him to do it or the way we think best. And that's not how it rolls. And if we stop and think about all the different obstacles that we have had in life, and we really stop and thought about it, you will see that God was in every part. In every area, he was there. He's always been there. But sometimes our complaints and our, you know, dissatisfaction of him gets in the way, and we really don't see how good he was then. Amen. Suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, this is how I think he did it. Didn't we tie up three men and threw them in the furnace? Yes, your majesty, they replied. Look, the king shouted, I see four men unbound, walking around in the fire, unharmed. And the fourth looks like a god. That's how I believe it happened. These men were protected from harm. God was glorified and they were rewarded. You know, I could tell you the times I've seen God just do marvelous things in my life when I've just said, you know what, God, I can't do it anymore. I just got to trust you in this. You know, time after time, I'm only, 35. I just turned 35 this year. And I've told my wife back in the days, I feel like I'm 45, 50 years old because of the things I have experienced in this walk of faith. I mean, I have experienced things in the Lord that I tell people and they think I'm telling them a fairy tale. And it's a shame because this is supposed to be the norm for us believers. We're supposed to see the miraculous hand of God regularly in our lives. But when you share it with people, they look at you like you're strange, like you're an alien. Well, technically, I'm supposed to be an alien. I'm not supposed to be of this world. So the things that happen to me are supposed to be different, peculiar from the regular. Why? Because we're supposed to be spiritual beings. And how sad it is when you speak to a fellow believer in the faith of the great things God is doing in your life, and they're looking at you strange, and they have to verify whether what you're saying is true or not true. Where's our trust? If our trust is in the Lord, we ought to see Him work marvelous things regularly in our life. Amen? Amen. Let us set our hearts to trust God no matter how difficult the pressure or punishment. God's outcome is greater and better than anything we can think of or even see at the moment. You know, God is faithful. And that video reminded me of a dream that I probably shared with you guys a few years ago, that I was in this dream and I was looking up from the sky down, like in a helicopter view, and I could see the whole city. I was in a city that had many hills. And in the dream, I had a mission. I yet did not know what that mission was. All I know was I had to take this bicycle and go up the hill. So when I got out of the house, there was somebody already down the hill riding a bicycle up the hill like this, but further down. So when I came out, I saw that person, didn't see the face, I just saw the person. So I got in the hill and I start going up. Next thing you know, I blink and I'm in the middle of the road and I have traffic coming my way. So I'm dodging all these vehicles. I was like, what am I doing in the street? But I knew that I could not go back to the sidewalk. I knew I had to stay going up the hill, going against the traffic. And when I'm going up the hill, I get to the very top, a car hit me. I could tell you the model. It was a Toyota Camry, 1995, white. And that's irrelevant to the story. But I got hit by this car. And when I got hit, I screamed in the air. And I said, "Oh, God." And when I said those words, I felt two hands grab me by the hip and say, "Don't worry, Miguel. I will never let you fall." Okay? The person that grabbed me in the midair was the person that was riding the bike before me, which was the Lord. You see, God always goes before you. And He tells you to do something. He wants you to trust Him. Why? Because He already gave you the victory. And the thing with us humans is sometimes we doubt. When we see things just go up and down, we doubt. We doubt, and when we doubt, it's not a good thing. Because we can kind of delay His plans. And sometimes if we choose to do like that young lady did, walk away, we kind of throw everything away. I really believe strongly that there are certain things in life that God wants you to do, but if you walk away, you lost that opportunity. That's very serious. You know, I've had many different scenarios in the past 2 years that the Lord has put my family through that if you stop and think about it, it makes no sense. But since when does the thing of the Lord make sense? They never do. To the natural, they never do. Now, when you look at it spiritually, He could show you a little something and the reason why He wants you to do things a certain way. I remember, I'm sorry, guys, I just laugh at my own thoughts. A lot of you folks are not right. Why? Because you were wishing I had another kid. And when we had what we thought was going to be our last son, Michael Caleb, my wife even preached that year while she was pregnant. She was like, "Well, this is the last one, so she needs to repent," because she said that from the altar. And a lot of people kept telling me, "Are you going to have another kid? Are you going to have another kid?" And I was like, "No, I think this is it." So anyway, I was going to try to get myself fixed and my wife too, but situations happened. We couldn't. So one day I remember getting out of my house and going for a walk and talking to the Lord, and I said to the Lord, Lord, do you want us to have another child? Because if this is your will, I don't want to stop your will. You see, sometimes we stop God's plans because we're so self-serving. We want things our way. And this was my own personal conviction. I cannot explain it all. But the reality is, I presented that to the Lord. And this thought came to my mind. And, you know, the thought that came to my mind was, if I want you to have this child and you prevent this child from coming, that's someone that may never see eternity. You understand? Somebody that's never going to see the face of Jesus. You know, even though we know we're not guaranteed that if you have a kid, that kid's going to be born again. But the thought was that that's someone that may never exist because of a choice that God wanted my wife and I to do. Be fruitful and multiply. It's a command. So when I started thinking like that, I got instant peace. And I said, Lord, if this is your will for my life, I want it. So I spoke to my wife, of course. She didn't like that. But like 2 weeks later, she said to me, you know what, Miguel? I trust the Lord. And I think it's Brother Silver's fault. He was the last one that said to me, are you guys going to have another one? And later on, when he told me that, I went and I said, Bessie, you know, a lot of people already saying that. I think we should check. And we went to Publix, and it was confirmed. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing. I'm excited. Because what God has for us is better than what we can ever think, you know. And we just need to learn how to trust the Lord with all our hearts. You know, it could be times that you might drop the ball. We all drop it. None of us are perfect. We all fall short. But God is so good that he gives us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. Because he loves us and he knows we just don't know any better. You see? I'm talking to you heart to heart because you guys are like my family. So I think this is the best way to kind of speak, to be that person you know daily. God has a plan for us. It's greater than what we can imagine. But we need to yield to him and trust his will for our lives. If we don't trust his will for our lives, we're wasting our time, really. You know, I have so many friends that have many regrets in life. And the hardest thing for me is to see someone you love in pain, hurting, because they just wanted to do it their way. They didn't want to trust the Lord. You know, I even had a kid I was mentoring a few years ago in Gainesville. I was driving like 2.5 hours or three from Kissimmee to Gainesville to see him in the boot camp. No one wanted to visit this kid. And his mom told me, I said, you know what, I'm going to visit him. I went several times within the months. You know, as the months passed by, I went several times. I would speak the word. I would bring videos, bring in displays. And a week before graduation, when they sent him home for Christmas, he went and started smoking dope. So when he went back, when they did the test, they kicked him out. And that saddened me because I was like, all this time investing, and he was almost done. Just that same week, he would have graduated. That hurt. But anyway, I said, it's done, it's done. Let me work with this kid. So when he came back, that he was in the church property where I used to be, I took him out of church service one Sunday, and I said, let's talk. And for 2 hours, we went around the neighborhood. And I was like, brother, man, you need to change your life. You can't keep doing this. We're all believing that God can do something great. But if you don't believe in yourself, nothing's going to happen. And sadly to say, this is the response of many believers. He says, you know, 17-year-old kid, he says to me, you know, Miguel, I give you homage. He tells me, I give you homage, full of pride. And he says, I appreciate everything you've done for me, but I want to do my own thing. Tell me just like that. I want to do my own thing. When he said that, it really saddened me because I was like, wow, what a shame. And you know what I said to him? I said, your own thing is going to cost you much. Your own thing is going to cost you much. A few months pass by, or maybe a year, when I get a phone call from my wife. I was home taking care of John Michael, and I get a call from my wife that the kid that the person that was robbing the CVS stores and the Walgreens was this young, this little kid that I was mentoring. He was robbing them at gunpoint. And his girlfriend, a girlfriend that I told him that he should be careful with, stay away because it's not a good deal. She was in the getaway car, and she was the one that actually enabled him to do these things. And they gave him 25 to life, okay? And I think they lowered the sentence, but he's still going to be there for at least 20 years. So it saddened me. I wrote to him in prison, and he finally got it. But how sad. You didn't need to go to prison. The problem with a lot of us believers is we want to do our own thing. And because we want to do our own thing, we don't trust on the Lord. But then we want the Lord to come and rescue us, any little thing that happens. Life is real. And circumstances can get bitter at times. And consequences are hard. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep me in perfect peace, all who trust in you." Sorry. "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." When we decide to put our trust in God, our minds become focused and our walk becomes steady, even though we are surrounded by chaos. God is faithful even in the midst of chaos. And if he says he will never let you go, he will never let you fall, he won't. He is faithful to his word. Regardless of what's around you, he's always faithful. You know, and there's so much more I wish I can say, but Wednesday nights, we cannot stay too long because you guys got to work tomorrow. But let me tell you, we need to line ourselves up with God's plan. We cannot keep being double-minded Christians, shifting with whatever wind blows our way. We can't. If you really want to experience the victories as a believer that God has for us, we need to do it his way. His way is the best way. His way doesn't have any regret. And at times, the Lord is working in your life, and it may seem like nothing's happening, but man, everything's just lining up. Lining up, lining up. You know, the last thing I would have thought was that I was gonna be with my wife, homeschooling my daughters and my son. I mean, those are the kind of things that God puts you in. And I could tell you something. In the past 2 years, I've been so blessed in many ways because I've done things that just doesn't make sense. They just don't make sense. But when you're spirit-led, it makes sense. It takes trusting the Lord to get where you really need to be. Amen? Let's rise up, brothers and sisters. And I will have the altar open, and whoever needs prayer, you could come for prayer. I mean, we're here for that. We're here to minister to you. If anyone here does not know Jesus, man, we're here. Jesus is here for you. He has a way for you. If your way hasn't worked, try Jesus. His way always works. And I thank you, Lord, because you are faithful. I thank you because your ways are higher, Lord. Your ways are always best. I pray for my brothers and sisters tonight, Lord, any concerns they have, any worries they have, that they could bring it to the foot of the cross and that they could trust you with all their hearts, Lord. My God, there's no better thing than to put our trust and confidence in you. Lord, you know our lives better than we do. You know the needs that we have. You know the emptiness that we have in our lives, Lord, and only you can fill it, Lord. Nothing in this world could ever fill that void that we have, my God, but you. So I bless my brothers and sisters in your name, and I thank you for them. And I pray, my God, someone here needs to be ministered to, that they may not harden their hearts, Lord, that they may not worry about their surroundings, but that they may trust that you're here and you want to minister to them now. My Lord, you say not to leave for tomorrow, what we can do today. And today, my God, is a day of freedom. Today is a day of restoration. Today, my God, is a day of salvation. So we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.